Back on the Young Turks post game, Casper, go.
Okay. So the topic I want to bring up is recycled news. Okay, because everything is recycled. Every issue comes back up again. You have to fight the same fucking fights, the same fucking battles, net neutrality, abortion, healthcare. I'm so fucking tired of it. I'm so tired of it. Like, it doesn't matter if we've won, right? It's gonna come back up again the next year. Okay, the government shutdown, the budget, it's all the same goddamn shit over and over again. And sometimes I fucking get discouraged. And right now I'm super discouraged, right? I was gone for over a week. Didn't read the news. I was like, I'm gonna make a point not to read the news. And then I'm probably gonna come back and be blindsided by all these changes. No, everything's exactly the fucking same. Okay? It drives me nuts. Drives me nuts. Net neutrality, why are we talking about net neutrality again?
So look, this is among the many reasons why we've got to get money out of politics. Because if there is money to be made, there is an incentive that is unstoppable. So if the broadband providers are going to make more money by killing net neutrality, they will fight to the end of time to kill net neutrality. Now, if they can give donations to politicians, they will of course do that. And by the end, of course they'll win, right? They'll buy enough politicians to win.
Yep.
So that's why having Facebook and Google on our side is so important, because it's actually a corporate versus corporate fight. Mm-hmm. It's the only ones where we have a prayer of winning, right? So.
And we have won. That's the thing. We have won. But we have to fight and win again.
No,
and
I know.
Again, so, and then so, again.
I know. But if you have money out of politics, then they lose their power tremendously. Because if you say, okay, I'm going to do a tax cut for the rich that is so grotesque as the one proposed today, where I'm going to redistribute $7 trillion of wealth from the middle class to the rich. If you had a system where we had a real democracy and you had to represent the voters to get their votes, you would get trounced. You'd get murdered. Your party would go out of business quicker than the Whigs. Okay, way quicker than the Whigs. Okay, you'd wig out, if you will. So, I think that you can say I'm too optimistic, but I'm not. Because we had that for a period of time. Look, money never relents, because it always flows, etc. And some people get pessimistic and go, oh, you see that? Even if you take money out of politics, they're going to try to find a way to bribe the politicians anyway. Yeah, I know that, but it could be easier or it could be harder. We made it perfectly easy and perfectly legal. So they bribe them at record rates and get record results. So back when it was harder, and that was the 1940s to about 1978, right? So let's say 38 to 78, you got about 40 golden years. And guess what happened? America became the number one economic power in the world. You had a booming economy. Yes, there were other factors, but crony capitalism could not get in the way of progress nearly as well as it does today. Okay, and we had the jobs here, we had etc. And was there still bribery? Yes, but they would be prosecuted and they'd go to jail. I know today it seems like a politician going to jail for taking money. No, that incredibly rich corporation is just talking to them.
It's just speech.
Yeah. So, and everything was not perfect between 38 and 78, and our foreign policy was horrific in many, many ways. Yes, we won, of course, World War II at the beginning of that stretch, and we did the Marshall Plan, and there was even a brief moment of sunshine in foreign policy, right? And then foreign policy became a disaster afterwards, thanks to the CIA, and the corporate interests that controlled the CIA. But at least on the domestic front, we made tremendous progress. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, taxes that were evenly distributed and not just for the middle class. And we didn't have the insane tax, etc. So there is a better way and there's a worse way. So on the issue of net neutrality, to come back to that, if we take money out of politics, they're screwed. Do you know how unpopular it is to kill freedom on the internet? Okay, even the right wing hates it. Over 90% of the country hates it. So as much as they would love to do it, if they didn't have a realistic avenue to, they wouldn't waste their money. They're like, look, if we got a 50% chance at it, we're going to take that shot because it's worth billions of dollars. If we have a 1% chance, I'm not going to waste $10, $20 million chasing after that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. It just sucks because our only hope is something that's incredibly difficult to achieve, you know? And I'm an impatient person. And I'm
that's
just,
good because you have the fierce urgency of now.
Yeah, I do. I do. And it's sometimes it gets really hard to do this job because I'll read the news and I'm just like, I can't deal with this particular issue again for the 50th time in the last month. Right. And so like that's the frustration that I feel right now. And it's coming across on the show. And so I apologize if I'm coming off as a little bitter and whatever, but it's just sometimes I get discouraged, and that's how I'm feeling today.
And sometimes I'm discouraged.
God, like for the first time in my life, I wanted to find someone on Twitter just to troll them. I wanted to find Ajit Pai on Twitter. I didn't, but I wanted to, and just like say mean things to him because I was so angry at the whole net neutrality thing, right? And look, hopefully we will resist and we will be victorious in this fight again. But again, it's going to come up. It's going to keep coming up, and it's discouraging.
Ajit Pai is one of those useful people, right? So sometimes people make the mistake. My dad even still makes this mistake, thinking like if you're quote unquote successful, that must mean you were smart or hardworking or you achieved some sort of success. No, Ajit Pai got promoted up and now runs the FCC because he's useful. So he worked for Verizon. They knew that he's the guy who would have no compunction in saying, oh, yeah, yeah, just kill the internet. Who gives a shit, right? Are we going to make an extra buck? We're going to make an extra buck. Well, should I pretend it's for poor people? Yeah, let's pretend it's for poor people. I don't give a fuck, right?
Yep.
And so that's the life of Pi. And if you got enough money, you'll find an Ajit Pai there somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's a country of 330 million people. You think somebody won't sell out for you, right? And I'm sure he's so proud of himself. Like he tells his parents, like, oh, I am the head of the FCC. Look at all the things I've accomplished. Dude, you haven't accomplished shit. Look, all you did was you told the giant corporations and the corrupt politicians, I am here to service you. That's all you did.
I mean, he was a lawyer for Verizon. Like, he's achieved some stuff, but that
he's
just.
Achieved shit.
But those are two
he's
separate
achieved
things.
Being
he's
a better ass kisser than the other people in the industry.
Yeah. Look. Yes. Okay. But those two things are separate. Like, you can be an accomplished person, but also be a dick, and that's what he is. He's a dick.
Look, when I briefly lived in D.C., I lived in D.C. for 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. And that was back in the day. It wasn't even as bad as it is today. I knew guys like Ajit Pai, and they wanted to move up, and they were so proud of themselves, and they do whatever it took, and mainly it involved ass kissing to incredibly powerful institutions, right? And then when they moved up, because they're like, oh, this one's another useful one, move them up, right? They'd be like, oh, look at what I did, I'm now slightly more prestigious job. Congratulations, dude, right?
Yep.
So. All right, anyway, I will tell you this. The story of Ajit Pai will in a lot of ways be the story of what happened in the Trump administration and what we were able to resist and what we weren't, what we were able to win and what we weren't. Because if the Ajit Pais of the world win, we're all in a world of hurt. So then the smarmy guys, the useful ones for powerful interests, They're going to be the ones who rule the day, and that is not a good place for the country.
It's not. And look, another thing that concerns me is that the internet is changing, and it's changing in a lot of bad ways right now. A lot of the freedom that the internet gave you is now being compromised, and I hate that as well, right? Like, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. So, all right, last bitter man stuff about this. Is that so? You know, you have that advertising situation on YouTube.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I was kind of hinting at that, but I don't know if you want me to get into it.
Yeah, yeah, no. I don't want to get too deep into it, and it's complicated, right? But I just keep going back to Maz Jobrani's great line about that. Mm-hmm. So when he would get criticism for doing comedy in the Middle East, and he's of Persian descent, he's of course American, and they say, oh yeah, well you can't make fun of Muhammad or the Quran in Iran if you do a comedy sketch there. And he's like, yeah, but our God in America is tied. So when he was doing a special for Comedy Central, they took out all the jokes about the sponsors. So there's censorship here too.
Yeah,
it's just dictated by
advertisers.
By advertisers, mm-hmm. And so, and that's reality. And there's good advertisers, you know. And I think we have some good advertisers that are progressive, etc. There are good brands, right?
There are some good advertisers.
Yeah, but overall, as an industry, they act as our form of censorship, and it's gross.
Because they're stuck in like the 1930s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they're so afraid of anything that might come across as even a little bit edgy, a little bit irreverent, right? They can't have it. They can't have it. Like this, we're so past like the 1950s. Everyone's buttoned up. No one curses. No one ever talks about sex. Like that's so inappropriate. Like grow the fuck up. Grow the fuck up. Like when are they gonna grow the fuck up, right? Those days are over. People don't even want content like that.
So,
Okay,
yeah. Now again, it's all they care about is incentives and disincentives. That's why setting up a system is the most important thing, right? How you set up the system. So, some of those sponsors are now doing great stuff, like Vicks in India. It did this really powerful ad for a transgender mom. It was mm-hmm. so touching, okay, and it was very brave, mm-hmm. and all those sponsors value diversity. Why? Because they got to sell their stuff to 7 billion people in the world, and those 7 billion people are diverse. So they don't like it when Fox News attacks diversity or women, because mm-hmm. that's half the customers in the world, right?
Right.
So there's some upsides to those big brands. But you're right, Anna, they just got to catch up in time. It ain't 1955. That whole we're going to be non-offensive to everyone is long gone, and they won't move.
They won't.
Okay,
we're like still like this wholesome. We're not wholesome. We were never wholesome, right?
It was always bullshit. Okay,
yeah.
So I know we got to go, but I got to, now you're forcing me to say two quick things related to that. One, last night I went and taught a class, not taught, but gave a speech at a class on media at USC, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. And I did the same thing. Now these are graduate students and it's on media. So I figured they're different. If I do this in a normal college class, I know what the answer is every single time. So, but I didn't know here because I thought they might, you know, surprise me. But I did the same thing that I do, which is raise your hand if you know the CBS Evening News anchor. Out of a class of about 40, not one. Raise your hand if you know the ABC News anchor.
Mm-hmm.
No, not one. Out of a class of 40, NBC News anchor, two people. Okay, mm-hmm. Lester Holt.
Mm-hmm.
So, the old days are fucking gone. They're gone. Mm-hmm. But you know, but they don't get it. In Washington and New York, they really think Scott Pelley is a huge deal. That David Muir is like, whoa!
David Muir, though.
I know, he's hot, right?
He's got that hair.
Yeah. Anyway, no, they're the most irrelevant people to actual human beings, right?
Yeah.
But advertisers think, now, look, I put my product on the CBS Evening News. That is good.
Yeah.
That is great. I will get people to buy my product. If I put it on things that are a little edgy, oh, my God. Well, in the new days, there ain't going to be no Scott Pelley. You put Scott Pelley on the internet.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think I even know who Scott Pelley is.
Yeah, he's the CBS Evening News anchor. Even Edwin doesn't
know. Scott? What is
and
Scott
Edwin
Pelley?
Knows everything.
Yeah. I haven't even heard the name.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're gone. But it's so that's the amazing part, guys. In the bubble,
yeah.
In Washington, New York, if you tell them this, they're like, fucking radicals, idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Scott Pelley and David Muir are super, super important, right? They're like one of the most important people there are. Mm-hmm. These guys, do you think that David Muir is not important, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they live on a different planet. And by the way, advertisers are in New York. You know,
yeah.
Not all of them, but a lot of them. And it's the same mindset. It's the same groupthink. TV, TV, right? And so finally, that leads me to my last point, which is related to the ESPN story we did earlier. There's this weird situation now where there are no jobs left in media. And I'll tell you why. Okay, for on-air people, boy, world of hurt. It's a killing field. So now you think, wait a minute, okay, you lose jobs in TV, like ESPN fired 400 people over the last 2 years, and now half of them are anchors in the last round, right? Well, so it's okay, you'll just go to digital, okay? Digital's now coming up, and you have all the audience that used to be on TV, they'll just get hired on digital. No, they won't. And they'll get just paid, they'll get the same salary. No, they won't.
They're not even freaking close.
Okay, but wait, where's the money? Let me explain. So in cable, two-thirds of the revenue comes from subscribers, not advertisers. People who pay their cable bill, right, every year. Mm-hmm. And then that gets doled out. ESPN gets an unbelievable $7. MSNBC will get like 40 cents or whatever it is, right? Per customer per month, okay? Mm-hmm. So when they lose the subscriber money, then their costs are so high, all of a sudden they don't have money for anchors, so they fire all the anchors. Now, but the advertisers, since they're stuck in 1955, have not moved, so digital doesn't have that money, right? TV still has the advertiser money, but it's not enough for them, so they're firing their anchors. We also don't have the subscriber money. We have you guys, thank you, but we don't have the kind of infrastructure that cable set up, where you know you get plugged into that cable and they automatically pay you a lot of money, right? Since on the digital side you don't have the subscriber money and you don't have the advertising money, we don't have the money to hire any of those guys, right? So, but TV, because their costs are so high, once they lose the subscriber money, even though they still have all the advertisers, don't have enough money. So neither side has enough money to hire anyone on air.
And also the advertisers are wasting their money because the audience isn't there. So there's, you know, I'm super interested in like what's happening, you know, in the economy and especially with like retail stores. Retail stores right now are shutting down left and right. One of the retail stores that's going to shut down all of its remaining stores next month is BB, which really stood out to me because I love BB, right? And I'm like, how is BB gonna shut down all its stores? Everyone loves their clothes. Like, this is like the weirdest thing. And it's because, I don't know where BB's advertising. I don't know where all these retailers are advertising. And of course, big box stores and things like Amazon are having a huge impact on their bottom line. But also, I think a lot of the advertisers, I never seen advertisement for any of these retailers, ever, ever, ever.
You know why?
Because
they're on TV.
They're on TV, exactly. So they're wasting their money. They're wasting their money advertising on TV, a place where certainly my generation doesn't consume its content, right? And everyone's losing. And at the end of the day, everyone loses. And it's so frustrating.
Yeah. The money from advertisers will eventually move. But we've been saying that for a long time. And they are so damn slow. Because they're like, no, man, no, I know TV. I love TV. I don't have to think very much. Okay, I just buy the same old thing. Why won't you just let me buy the same old thing, right? Oh, on digital, it's hard. There's a lot of things there. I got to figure it out. Okay, anyways, so, and by the way, it's not just on-air people, it's also producers, etc. I was talking to a producer who used to make a good living here in LA in local television. Local news over the last 5 years in LA has lost two-thirds of its audience, gone. So now advertisers have left them because they're like, yeah, you don't, I used to give you, I'll give you the same amount of money per audience, but you don't have the audience anymore. So now they're going to fall into the ocean soon. What's going to be left? By the way, you know what's going to be left? Us. We just got to hang in there, guys. And why do you think we asked you guys for the money for the reporters? Because there's no money out there, right? It's the killing fields. The fact that we have survived is amazing.
It is. It is. It's scary though. It really is because there aren't many jobs out there for people who want to work in media. And look, to be fair, there are a lot of players in the digital world who make really dumb decisions as well, right? And they have insanely bad business models and just burn through tens of millions of dollars that they get through investors or sponsors or whatever it is. And you're just like, how? What, like if we got a $10 million sponsor or $10 million investor, Oh my God, what would we do with that money?
I have a pretty good idea. So, you know, one of the things we do, we'd fucking grow. Oh my God, with us with real money, step aside, Butch. Right? So, anyways, let's see how it goes, guys.
Yeah.
Wish us some good luck on that front. All right, we gotta go. I gotta go catch the plane, and we still have TYT classics. I'm away, guys, for about 7 days of showtime here. But you know, when I'm away, I'll do more videos like Facebook Live, YouTube Live, etc. Okay, so I'll see you there, and Anna's here tomorrow. Okay, see you tomorrow.